Well, it's a new year, 2022. Happy New Year. How are you feeling about this new year? How are you feeling about another year here? Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, hey, a fresh start, a new year. This is the year. This is the time. Let's do this. Maybe not. Perhaps you're a bit more downcast then. Perhaps the idea of a new year isn't enough to drag you out of bed. Ugh, the same issues are rolling into another year. Whoopee. We sing Auld Lang Syne, or we put other lyrics to it. We make New Year's resolutions. We think about what's going to come, and we live in light of that. Some people in this room, they have big events coming up this year that they might be looking forward to. Other people, you might not have any idea what's going to happen this year. But this morning, we're going to be dropping into the book of Revelation. We're going to be dropping into the book of Revelation to see how God wants to inspire us, to encourage us to live for the future. Now, as you've considered 2022, how much has your faith played into it? I don't know how much your faith has factored into your plans for this new year, how much the way you'll live this year has been shaped by what you believe. To be honest, it's not really where I start when I think about New Year's. But Revelation is given to us, the book of Revelation is given to us for this reason. Revelation is a book that calls its readers to be victorious, to make it to the end, to be victorious and hold on to the faith till you get to the finish line. Let's have a look a few verses up. Revelation 21, verse 7. Jesus says this about the new creation. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. In Revelation 21, verse 7, sounds great, doesn't it? But each and every successive year we have here, well, it challenges that. There's always something around the corner that makes us wonder whether it's worth it. Holding firm to the faith is costly. And it doesn't help, does it, that there are many stories of people who've given up. People who've thrown in the towel, lifted the white flag. People who seem to be going strong and yet turn and throw it all away, all in the hope of something else. Why should we bear the cost of being a Christian in 2022? Why should we want to be victorious on the final day? As we go into this new year, why should we want to continue as Christians? Or why should you consider becoming a Christian? Why? Why would you want to bear the cost now? See, as the world around us calls us to get with the program, the temptation can be high, can't it? Whether that's the allure of glory. If you come and do this, we'll make your name great. You only have to read the news to see how that works, don't you? People are being cancelled for not having the right views. Politicians, authors, even people in the street. Nobody wants to be cancelled. No one wants that, do they? Or maybe the idea of protection. If you get on board with this, then no one's going to come for you. Just do what we say. For our brothers and sisters overseas, if they were to simply renounce Christianity, if they were to say, I don't care about Jesus, their families would be safe. You can feel the temptation, can't you? Or simply being part of the in crowd, part of the gang, part of the team. Cave in and you can be part of our club. The invites to the parties, the including in the group messages. Who doesn't want to be in that famous WhatsApp group where you get invited to everything, part of the cool club? The temptation to give up in the here and now, whether it's shouting out loud or whether it's quietly whispering, can be powerful. In fact, this letter of Revelation is written to churches who are tempted to do just that. To give up on their convictions is going to make their life a lot simpler. Revelation 2 and 3 give us their stories. The temptation to gain glory for themselves is something that some of the churches have fallen into. One church says this, "Look, I am rich. I've prospered. I need nothing." They had all the glory in the here and the now, but Jesus says to them, "No, you are poor. You're blind and you're naked." Or the temptation for protection, when the local religious leaders were saying, "No, no, no, they're not part of us. Don't protect them." When they say that and they strip you of all your protection, the temptation's going to be strong. Just give in here and your friends and family will be safe. Who doesn't want their friends and family to be safe? Come on. Or just fitting in. Being with the right people in a world where simply giving a pinch of incense to the emperor would get you the best food and to enjoy the local bathhouses. Just tolerate those people who are doing other things. Just say it's okay and you can come in. To each and every situation the church finds itself in, Jesus says, be victorious. Keep going, push on. And as we come to the end of this letter, we come to the end of John's letter to these churches, John gives us a glorious picture. Why should we bear the cost of being a Christian in this new year, in 2022? Why should the churches that John is writing to keep going? Why should we today push on to the finish line? And the answer is because of the final goal. Now, I think I have permission to tell this story. Thank you. It's a New Year's resolution. I'm asking before. You see, in the countdown to our wedding, my wife made the decision that she wasn't going to eat anything sweet until our wedding day. Now, that led to lots of fun of me trying to change her mind, as well as a lot of pain because not that she made me, but essentially, I felt bad ordering pudding in restaurants. I had to join her in it. But you see, she knew the goal, so she lived differently in light of it. In some ways, it's a small picture, but it does make the point. When we know the goal, it changes how we live in the here and now. If we're going for something in sports, we're aiming for that over there, we will train in the here and now in order to get it. See, John writes this final part of Revelation to give us a picture, to give us an idea of where God's people are ultimately going to end up. And he gives us a guided tour of what he sees. And the imagery, it's glorious. It answers those three big temptations, glory, protection, and presence in an ultimate way. Because those desires we have, they are good desires. And they're desires that God will fulfill. Now, just a note, as we go through this passage, you might find yourself going to and fro between whether this is a picture of a place or a picture of a people. Well, yes, is the answer. See, this is stylistic for John. He does this all the way through Revelation. For example, he hears a lion and he sees a lamb. And in those places, he's giving us two perspectives of the same thing. And that is the point here. John wants us to hold both these pictures together. He wants us to see the people and the place as one and the same thing. Because the final goal is the reason to be victorious. Because if we know where we're going and what we'll be, that makes a difference to what we're going to do now. Just like a bride before her wedding. So let's have a look at this goal, shall we? The first thing to see this morning is that the final goal is the people with God's glory. The people with God's glory. Now, when you hear the word glory, there's probably many things you think of, whether that's supporting the right football team. I mean, accusations of glory hunting go around all the time, don't they? Or whether it's having the best of something, the best amount of money, the best car. All these things that think will make us look good. Every single one of us desires significance. We always want to associate ourselves with things that are going to make us look good. And glory is a desire. It's a desire that the Bible answers. Grab your Bibles, have a look at verses 9 to 14. I'm going to read them for us. Revelation 21, verses 9 to 14. "One of the angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high walls with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, just before this in Revelation, John has shown us the fate of the current world. It's going down. It's going down into the sea in judgment. But this description is meant to contrast so strongly with that. It's really glorious. The city is coming down out of heaven, a city that is the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, if you've ever been to a wedding, I know one family has very recently, you know the moment when the bride walks in. The music has started. Everyone's peering over their shoulders. The bridesmaids walk in. And then you catch a glimpse of her, the bride, the white dress, the look between the soon-to-be married couple. I'm sure we all have a picture in our minds now, don't we? See, that moment, that very moment, is just a small picture of what John is seeing here. And the bride city, it looks glorious. Verse 11, it has the glory of God. Can you get more glorious than that? And it's brilliant. It's like a precious jewel. I mean, you can't get more precious than a precious jewel, can you? John merges the idea of a people and a place. It's the picture of a beautiful bride and the picture of a glorious city. I think one group of people really get what this looks like. That's if you're a married architect. Are there any married architects in the room? I think you'll get what this is. See, they're going to have a field day with this description, a beautiful bride and a beautiful city in one go. But the city description here, it's similar to the description of the camp of Israel, with three tribes on each side of it. And the angel guarding it, well, it sounds like the angel placed at the Garden of Eden back in Genesis. God's original intention was to spread his glory throughout the entire world, starting there in the garden in Eden, going out into Eden, going out into the rest of the world. And Israel's mission was to pick that up and to run with it. And the foundations of the city, they're the 12 apostles of the New Testament. This is a picture of the entire, complete people of God, old and new, all together in one place. The final goal of God's glorious plan, right here, complete. God's plan to put his glory is now here, in his people, in his city. You see, in a world where there is no glory right now, knowing that glory is coming is going to make you live for that day. And if you're thinking there is current glory now, well, just think about what you think is glorious and stick it in comparison to this. What's the most glorious thing you can have right here, right now? The job promotion? The bigger house? There we go. What here and now do you think is going to make you shine? How does it compare to this? Even winning the Premier League doesn't. See, this city that shone with the glory of God, no other glory is going to compare to this. In fact, John is very strong in the way he does this. Revelation summarizes the best that this world has to offer as the city of Babylon. You can read more about that in the previous chapters. But the very best that this world has to offer, you need to believe this. The best that this offer, the world can offer, can be described as this, and warning language is strong. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. The city of Babylon, the very best that this world has to offer us now, in the end, looks like a massive prostitute. Compare that to the city coming down from heaven looking like a bride. Which one do you want? Current glory is nothing in comparison to this. Revelation tells us that the most glorious looking thing in this entire world is going to be shown for what it is. A great drunk prostitute. It's the last time I say that word, if you're worrying, parents. Is that really worth living your life for? Of course not. Keep on going. Be victorious now because of the final goal, because you'll be part of the people with God's glory. It is real. It will be yours, so hold on, keep going. Well, the second thing John wants us to see about this final goal is that it's the people with God's protection. The people with God's protection. I mean, you only have to look at Twitter today to see what people will do for protection. Whether that's changing a company logo for 1 month a year to be rainbow coloured, or whether that's changing the way that English pronouns work. The whole world is worried about what the rest of the world will do to them. And when you really take a step back and think about it, it's pretty pathetic, isn't it? And if you want a surefire way of getting on the wrong side of all that, stand up for being a Christian. I mean, the appeal of protection, the appeal of caving in, it's really strong sometimes, isn't it? I mean, I felt this particularly. In my previous job, before I worked here, as I came into the office one morning, one particular lady, she was handing out shoelaces, rainbow-coloured shoelaces, to show pride. I found it really hard to know what to do, actually. Either to refuse and have everybody look at me and say, why? And then to have the shame of the office. Or to take them and just hope nobody noticed. My whole thing was about gaining protection for one more day. I mean, when I look back on it now, it was so puny. It was such a tiny little thing. But I felt in that very moment the desire to be protected, to not stand out. Are we always going to be looking over our shoulders? Are we always going to be living in fear of what this world might do to us? We'll have a look at Revelation 21, 15 to 27. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made of a single pearl. The great city of the street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there is no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, John carries on with his imagery of the city. And as he does this, he's pulling in a number of Old Testament images. Images of security, of permanence. Now, if you were to picture in your minds the most secure place on the earth, I imagine your picture is probably involving chains, locks, guards, the rest. Perhaps you're thinking of the Bank of England. I've had the pleasure of walking past that every week for the last year. Or Fort Knox, maybe, if you think of American movies. But impressive as those pictures are, when the Bible speaks of protection, it's far more impressive. Just have a look at the details. The city, if you were to sketch it out, would be one giant cube. It's like a small picture of the Holy of Holies in the temple. That's the room where you'd find, right in the center of the temple, right in the center of God's city, the heart of God's place. And the walls, they're built out of jewels, 12 jewels exactly, representing God's people. And those 12 jewels, they're there to speak of ultimate protection. To be inside this city, surrounded by these jewels, is to be both inside God's people and inside God's protection. Just think about it for a moment. When you start cladding your walls with jewels, you're no longer worried about wars. You're no longer turning on the burglar alarm. You're no longer thinking someone's going to come and take them. They're right there. You can just pinch them. In Isaiah, God says to Israel that he's going to rebuild them again out of jewels so they won't be afflicted, they won't be storm-tossed, they won't be uncomforted any longer. See, this picture of jewels, it's permanent, it is safe. And it's a city that no longer needs to shut its gates. Have a look at verse 25. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. See, no one is going to be attacking this people city. The locks don't need to turn at night. Well, because there is no night. The jewels are always on display with no fear of them going anywhere. Nothing unclean is ever going to enter the city because they simply won't be able to. See, for John's readers who are constantly looking over their shoulders for when the authorities might come, worried that the local synagogue might turn them in, well, this image of protection is a real comfort. These people can take real comfort in these walls. And we can do the same today. See, if we're looking for safety in the here and now, it's a fleeting thing. It just takes a turn of opinion for those who once offered that safety to have lost it. It's one of our greatest desires, isn't it? Everyone wants protection. Everyone wants safety. Our friends and family to be secure. But we try and get it the wrong way. We try and get it by following the world around us. We live in fear of what the next mistake might be, the next slip-up. What's going to be the next unacceptable opinion? Is 2022 the year that you, are going to be cancelled? Is 2022 the year that I'm going to really mess up my social life? Now just look again at what we have here. All of our desires for safety, all of our desires for protection, they're answered here. Not in the protection of those around us, but by God himself. See, if we really grasp that, if we really know that every Babylon will fall, we'll be looking forward to this city, being the people who will permanently have God's protection. And so, we'll be victorious now. That protection, it is real, and it will be yours. So hold on, keep going. And finally, the final goal, and one that you could say summarizes all of the points this morning, the people with God. The people with God. So this is the ultimate goal of God's plan, to be with his people. And here, in this final picture in Revelation, that is exactly what we have. Now, I know that this Christmas was a relief to many, but it was also a sadness to many, wasn't it? So I've been speaking to you. I know that some people have been that way, other people have been the other. We had hopes of seeing family, and then that test result came in Christmas Eve. We all know what it is to desire to be with someone, don't we? In fact, 2022, it's already been dubbed the year of the loneliness pandemic. I don't know if you saw that on the news yesterday. As more and more people are alienated, separated from one another. I want to argue that relationships haven't been an issue since this year. I mean, we've only had 2 days so far. Relationships have been a mess ever since Genesis 3, the sad day of Genesis 3. Relationships with each other, and even more foundationally, our relationship with God. See, getting back to God has been the goal throughout the whole Bible. And do you see what we have here in this picture? We finally have it. Have a look at chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. Just notice where God is here. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great city of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. See, John is picking up language from the Garden of Eden, and he is stamping it all over this section. Not just one tree of life, but now on either side of the river, growing 12 kinds of fruit. We're back in Eden, but better. And where's God? Well, God is there. Just have a look where his throne is. All the way through Revelation, his throne's been getting closer and closer and closer. But where is it now? Verse 1, it's in the middle of the street. It's as if God's throne has been moving all the way through Revelation, and now God is finally here with his people. And John emphasizes that again, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse, the answer to Genesis 3. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. See, the picture John paints is glorious. And primarily, it's because God is there. Just like a honeymoon after the wedding, might be a lovely holiday, but it's the company that really makes it. I mean, you can't go on a singles honeymoon. You can't just go abroad and say, hey, I'm on honeymoon. For the churches that attempted to get into the inner circle, there really is no better circle to be part of. You're in the circle of the King of the universe, the Creator. The best of foods right now is going to taste like dry cardboard in comparison to the banquet of the King. So this morning, who is it you want most to think the best of you? Who is it this morning that you really want to remember you as they plan their next big party? What will you do to be that person? Or just pit that against this. See, if we're not excited this morning about God being with his people, if we're not excited about being with God forever, then we've missed the whole point. Being with God for eternity is better than the best inner circle there can ever be. In a world put right, the way things are meant to be, where everything, absolutely everything good, is at its best, and where God is with his people, that is Eden, that is paradise. And just in case we wonder if there'll be any further twists or turns, John finishes with seven words. Seven words that trump each and every fairy tale ending for God's people. Verse 5, they will reign forever and ever. I mean, there really is no room in that for any more surprises, is there? It is real. It will be yours. So hold on and keep going. So why should we bear the cost then of being a Christian in 2022? Well, because of the final goal, glorious, protected with God. You see how this picture is a fitting end to the whole Bible, everything that has come before it. Every desire, every wish of the church now and throughout time is found right here. Every desire for glory, every dream of safety, every wish of relationship, each is answered perfectly right here. And that includes us today. We're not that different from the churches John was writing Revelation to. John's aim is to show us the final goal too, so that we will stick at it this year too. So that we will bear the cost of following Christ for another year. So as 2022 begins, as new challenges come up, why should we bear the cost of being a Christian? Because of this final goal. Or as Jesus says in Revelation 21, verse 7, those who are victorious will inherit all this. I will be their God, and they will be my children. We have such a glorious future ahead of us. So don't throw the towel in now. Let's remember this picture. Let's encourage each other with this. Let's pray as a church for each other in light of this. It'd be really great if you could use those growth group WhatsApp groups to encourage each other to keep going day by day. It'd be great if we could be here on a Sunday and spur one another on as we go through the rest of this year. Because it is real. It will be yours. So hold on. Keep going. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's turn to prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this call to faithfulness here in Revelation. We pray that you would help us this year, in 2022, to be those who are victorious to the very end. Help us to always have in sight the end goal. Would we seek the glory, not of the here and now, but your glory? Would we not seek protection and safety in the here and now, but your ultimate protection? And would we strive to make it to the end where we will be with you eternally? Father, help us to plan our coming years accordingly. Would those things in our lives that could trip us up be seen for what they truly are? Will those parts of our lives that need to change have the reason here to do so? And would we all as a church, as Christ Church Hemel, pray and encourage and speak truth to one another, pointing each other to your marvellous end new creation. Amen.